The following may contain language that is not suitable for all audiences. Fact podcast.
Huzzah!
Do you think we need more cowbell every now and then?
If we need more cowbell, you're going to have to bring some.
It's a veiled reference. Not very veiled.
Pretty veiled for me. I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
It's a Saturday Night Live skit with Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh.
And they're like, more cowbell.
Oh.
Man, I guess you just... Maybe we need some different talent on this side of the table.
I think we just need different talent all around.
New hosts?
Just people that are better.
Wow. I guess our fans are going to have to get used to disappointment.
Well, that is a good way to attack life.
Get used to disappointment?
Yeah. You know, that's the nickel version of therapy for me, which used to be movies, but now... I don't know, man. Movies are not very... entertaining anymore, really.
I wonder if they've gotten worse, or it's just that you're older.
I'm going to say it's probably just that I got older. I've gotten older.
But some movies hold up, though.
Some do.
But then there's other movies where you're like, when you're a kid, you're like, that movie was awesome. Then you watch it now, and it's shit. So.
No. I mean, I've always loved The Ten Commandments, because I used to watch it every year. Just before Easter.
Which, today is Good Friday.
Yes.
We're recording Good Friday, but you won't get this until next week.
So. Right. So, and I will have watched it again. But that movie holds up really well. And there's that one line in the movie that just, you know, really gets to me. You know, the scene where Yul Brynner's character, where Ramses comes back after getting defeated, essentially. And is it Nefertiti or whoever?
It's a series of plagues, right?
No. It's after the end when they leave. And Nefertiti is all pissed off because her son had died.
Mm.
And she was like, you know, how did you're supposed to be this great thing and you still lost. And, you know, how could the God of shepherds defeat, you know, the God of gods, you know, just Pharaoh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the great line that I still remember and still love is because his God is God.
That's a good line.
I like it.
And it's delivered right.
Well, you know, Yul was no slouch.
He was not.
I think he went to the University of Paris.
Did he?
Yeah. Or so they say.
Where's he from, though?
Like Kazakhstan or something?
Really?
Like Kazakh. He's from...
How the hell did he go from Kazakhstan to being in Hollywood movies?
Well, I guess when you look like Yul Brynner, I mean...
But that's still impressive, though.
Well, the funny thing that I find is, you know, they have all these programs for directing and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And the best directors, the greats, there was no film school,
right?
So they did it all on their own,
right?
Essentially, you know, which reminds me of a buddy of mine who went to West Point. Told me that when he was there, and this is going back a long ways, you wouldn't find that, or maybe you would, but there was a poster apparently at the school where it had a picture of like Grant, Lee, and Jeff Davis. And I think originally it probably said the history we teach was made by the men we taught.
Uh-huh.
But I think when he went there, which was like the early 90s,
yeah,
it was changed to something like the history we teach was made by the people we taught.
Right.
You know, because at that point they accepted women and
it's
stuff.
Like the Star Trek movies.
What?
The beginning of the Star Trek movies, where no man has gone before.
Oh, no one.
Where no one, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, language is really important, and it's become important because people mess with it so much. You know, like, oh, if you say man, then you're excluding women. I'm like, really? I mean, it was just an objective term.
Right.
And
it's not, it's mankind, humans.
I understand the argument. I understand the counterpoint where like, oh, you know, it's offensive, or it really, you know, brings me down, makes me sad. But whenever I think of that or hear that, unfortunately, my mind goes to the Geico commercial.
Which one?
Oh, you know, do retired drill sergeants make bad therapists?
Yeah, that's a classic.
And when they're like, oh.
They don't play that commercial anymore.
I think that's why the color yellow makes me sad. And he's like, you know what makes me sad? You do.
And he throws the tissue box at him.
Well, at the end, he's like, tissue? I'm like, baby. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just middle-aged blasé or blasé in general.
I think movies have probably gotten worse, too. I think it's both. I think it's a combination.
It's probably because it's become a little bit more egalitarian. No. Because the entertainment space has changed in such a way to where it's really hard to make tons of cash. It's always been hard to make tons of cash.
Right.
But now it's even hard for the people that were making the tons of cash.
Right.
To still make the tons of cash. Because before... And it seems like this is the case in all endeavors, but there seems to be this desire by the people who pull the strings or who are at the top or who make the most to kind of cut out everybody so that they still make the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's no longer, how many was it, like six studios and six big studios/distribution companies?
Well, and then they broke them up, yeah. Are you talking about before... When they were doing both?
Well, no, before, when I talk about distribution, I'm not talking about owning the movie houses too, which is what it was. I mean, basically the movie studios were started, I believe, to play movies, because what was it, like the Warner Brothers used to be like a fur?
Yeah, that's right.
Furriers. They stored
all the furs.
And so during the times of the summer when there was nothing to do with those spaces, they would show movies in them, and that's what the first, you know.
Oh.
And so then they started the companies to make the content to show the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a supply of movies to show in their spaces, so they made the companies
right
to make the movies.
Right.
And that's how they made, you know, those untold riches. For a brief period of time. And, you know, brief is like what? It's less than a lifetime.
Mm.
I mean, they were what? They probably started in the early 1900s?
Yeah. When was it Talkies came?
20s? Yeah. Well, they kind of say the death of the silent film was like, what, 26, whenever Jazz Singer came out?
Mm. Was that the first talkie?
Mm-hmm. That was the first sound synchronized...
That was it.
Well, and then, you know, one of my other favorite movies was about that, Singing in the Rain.
It's about the...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
It's a great movie. So I think of all the movies that I really liked, and they're all movies from when I was young. I mean...
A lot of the TV I like is shit from the 80s, which is pretty sad.
Well, that's some of the best TV.
Like Magnum P.I.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's getting closer to election time, and so things are ramping up, and I'm already sick of everything. I was sick of it before, but now I'm so disillusioned that I'm one of those people that all the Chicken Littles, no matter which side of the fence you're on,
uh-huh,
are telling me that I can't opt out because, you know.
The sky is falling on your head.
Yeah, the sky is falling, and you need to pick a side.
The sky is falling!
But it seems to me that they're all on the same side.
Wasn't there a character in Asterix that was always... Was it the chief that was always worried about this guy falling on their head?
I never watched or saw Asterix.
Yeah, I think it was one of the characters in Asterix.
I think in Looney Tunes it seemed like there was a lot of stuff going
was
on.
Was it Vital Statistics was the chief?
I don't know.
Yeah. I remember there was the dog, Dogmatics.
Which is kind of cool name for a dog.
He was cool.
He
was Obeliscus. Obeliscus dog.
Osmoliscus.
Obelix. I can't say it. Obelisk.
But I keep on thinking of why things are the way they are. And it's because of the way we are. And I don't care why we're that way. I want to know why. And it doesn't... The standard answer doesn't really satisfy me.
Which is what?
The standard religious answer is because we are broken and we need God to fix us. Okay, I get it, I understand, but we don't seem like we're ever going to get fixed.
Why is it so hard to walk the path that the Bible says you got to walk?
It's hard to walk any path of righteousness.
But it's almost impossible, though.
I think part of it is because we always do what we want to do.
And the Bible is like, there's a whole lot of stuff you got to do, and it's not easy.
Well, not necessarily that, but everyone... I am pretty confident in making this statement, this bold generalization, that we always do, we people always do whatever it is we want to do. And, you know, we've had a conversation like this years ago, and you got really unhappy with me, and you started talking about all these people or all these things where people didn't seem to do that. I think before I called it self-interest. I said we're all self-interested. And we had months, maybe even years of...
We are in the 570s, so...
Heated discussions. Not even when we were recording, just heated discussions when you're like, oh no, but what about this? You know, I know people that sacrificed and did all this and... You know, what about folks that, you know, would sacrifice themselves for the greater good and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. That's not self-interested. And I realized that self-interest is not necessarily the correct term.
Okay.
It's what we want to do. We do what we want.
That's self-interest, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Because when we talk about people and I say people do what they want to do, the easiest comeback is, oh, what about these people that did all this other stuff? And it wasn't something that you would sit there and say, well, that would be something that someone would want to do.
Right.
Like something they have to do. Right? What about the people that always go to work? Or what about the people that I can't think of a concrete example now, but...
What about someone who goes out of the way to save somebody else?
Again, that's something they want to do.
But they're putting themselves at risk.
Which is why self-interest might not be the best, most logical term about it.
It's not self-interest when somebody does something like that.
But when you do stuff that you have to do, or you do stuff that benefits others, that's still something you want to do.
Because there's a benefit? Not necessarily.
That's why
the definition, the self-benefit thing doesn't work.
Well, the self-interesting thing doesn't work because then we're always looking for benefits. We're looking to get some kind of like third person logic involved.
Yeah, there would have to be, right, if you were talking about self-interest.
But if it's something, because I realized this, it wasn't really an epiphany, but just kind of people doing stuff that they want to do. Everyone does what they want to do. When you become an adult, you do even more stuff that you want to do. Now, and people are like, well,
and then you justify it. You say, I'm doing it for my kids.
Or something. But the big example, because when you think of stuff that you want to do, you think the other person automatically thinks about like selfishness. And then, so they say stuff like, well, it doesn't seem that selfish to not eat and give food to your kids or give food to somebody else. And because because they're like trying to couch it in a way to, you know, win the discussion or the argument, which makes me think of what Thomas Jefferson used to say about John Marshall, I believe.
Which is what?
Grant him a premise.
Grant him a premise and you're lost.
Grant him a premise and you're finished.
Right.
Which is why... I'm not even going to go into various political discussions, but which is why whenever you see interviewers or you see things... Like, I remember years and years and years ago, like, I guess it was... Shoot, how long has Vladimir Putin been in charge of the Russian Federation?
Oh, God. At least since, like, the 2000s, right? Or even the 90s.
Yeah, I want to say that I saw something where
That's when Medvedev was around.
Well, I believe I saw an interview with Vladimir Putin probably in the 90s.
That sounds about right.
And the interviewer would ask him a question, and he would answer the question, but as if posed the way he wanted.
Right. What's impressive about him as well is like he'll do it, and then he'll like talk for like 20 minutes.
Well, that's what all politicians do. But I always thought that he was really, really wily, because I can't remember the exact thing. But for example, someone might say, you know, why is the sky blue?
Right.
And instead of answering that question or saying, I don't know, right, the answer would be, the sky is beautiful. And just go on and on about the sky.
And just completely not talk about the blue thing.
Right. Because
you didn't want to talk about it.
Right. And that happens a lot among people in general. But, you know, because I always wondered. I remember I was talking to a buddy of mine over the weekend. And I was saying, you know, if more of the people in charge were like you, I think things would be better. And I stand by that statement, you know. I think he's a real stand-up dude.
Right.
But then I thought about it and I was like, what's to say that those people aren't like him?
And then
their situation changed.
You mean like power?
Power, wealth. You know, once you start getting stuff.
Is that the whole, like, absolute power corrupts absolutely?
Absolutely it does. Mm. Shoot, a little bit of power will corrupt you. Power is so corrupting that it doesn't even take that much.
Well, yeah, I just think of the COVID examples, right? When they gave all those, like, minor bureaucratic people, like, a little bit more power. And what happened? They're total fucking fascists.
Well, under the color of authority, because they had the authority.
Right.
That's not to say that people aren't. That's not to sit there and say that people don't try to do the right thing or don't want to.
But it seems like everyone has the potential to be a bully.
Everyone is a bully. If you put any person in a situation where they have more power than somebody else, they're going to abuse it.
So.
But. Go ahead. Well, okay, go ahead.
No. Finish your thought, then I'll.
Well,
I have a question.
My thought was, but is the use of power abuse of power?
Well, that's why you have to have restraints, right? That's why you got to have restraints on power.
Well, that's the,
you know, the whole founding fathers,
the checks thing. And balances. Yeah, that's the ideal. But what happens if they collude?
Well, then you're fucked.
You know, the restraint has to come from within.
Yeah, but you can't trust a man. I was going to say a person. You can't trust a person to have restraint from within, though. That's the whole point, right?
That's James Madison's thing, right?
Yeah. You can't. Because if what you're saying is correct, which is that people start out...
Well, you don't have to say if what you're saying, do you agree or disagree, is the thing, right?
I just don't think it can come from within given what power does to you. Unless you're like, what, one in a million, one in a billion?
Well, that's why my favorite, that's why the person I look up to the most is potentially a legend.
What's his name? Omelinitis? No.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. What's his name again?
Cincinnatus.
Cincinnatus, yeah. I'm like, Omelinitis.
And I liked him so much, I even moved to Cincinnati for a little while.
So Cincinnati is named after him?
I believe.
Who frickin' came up with the name Cincinnati? Was it one of the founding fathers?
I don't think so. I think Ohio was like a frontier.
So where the hell, who was into Cincinnatus and was like, we're going to call this Cincinnati?
Any educated person?
Like way back then?
200 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, it is a pretty amazing example, if it's to be believed.
He did it twice.
So it can be done then.
But is it really from within that he did it, though? Which brings the whole religious aspect and stuff, God and such.
Right.
I don't mean to belittle God, but right.
Well, I don't think you are, right?
You know, your forbearance has to come from within, but it's actually from without. It's from another source that kind of fills you up.
Right.
And if you don't have
like a vase.
You're a vessel, yes.
A vessel.
Or a blank slate. But in order for you to forbear, because if you have no earthly repercussions to anything you do, you're going to be a frickin' soup sandwich.
For those of you who don't know, a soup sandwich, just imagine the mess that a sandwich becomes when you add soup to it.
We'll try to make a soup out of a sandwich. Try to make a sandwich out of soup.
Oh, I think of just putting a sandwich in soup.
You could do that. You know, and even the whole doing what you have to do, you know, that comes from a school I went to.
Doing what you got to do?
Discipline is doing what you're supposed to do, not what you want to do.
And that's tough.
So, you know, there were some other odd snippets, like a lot of the terms that I tend to throw around, I came from the various little schools that I went to.
So given this fact that people do what they want to do all the time, because I was thinking about the fact that I was thinking about how everybody's in their own camps these days. I don't know if it's more than we ever were. It feels like it's more than we ever were. It feels like people are a long way apart, and that people are like, I like this, the way this person thinks. I like the way what this person says, or I don't even care. I just like this person. So I'm going to be here in this camp, and the other person is like, I like what this woman has to say, so I'm going to be in this camp.
We tend to like philosophies, yeah.
And there's like, it's very, very, it seems like the art of, and I don't even know if this is the case, that things were maybe in different times, maybe people were able to come together and have differences and still be, you know, lifelong friends or colleagues or whatever, but it seems like that is discouraged now. The powers that be do not want people getting together and being like, well, we can have our differences, but we can still, you know, try and do this thing over here together.
That only lasts as long, and I think the powers that be are the people that ilk have found out generations ago that a colossal fuck up still won't affect you in your lifetime if you're high enough up or if you've got enough people.
To what?
To keep going. I mean, everyone's, a lot of people are talking about how our times are so dark. And
shit, man, stuff's always been dark, though.
That's my point.
You know, I mean, that I don't buy. That things are any worse now. There's been times in history when things have been way worse, and there's been times in history when things have been better, but, you know, you can always say things are bad.
I think that the people that do well and have done well throughout history have learned or known inherently that good enough is always superior to superior. Nobody wants to be around the best.
That's like you were saying last week about the guy that works three times harder than anybody else.
Yeah, they don't want to be around that guy.
Well, they just want the fruits of that guy's labor.
Yeah.
But they don't want that guy having a seat at the table.
So, you know, I believe what...
You were going to say something about Animal Farm when we were talking about that. You were like,
yeah, don't be the
morals of Animal Farm.
The moral of Animal Farm is don't be the horse.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy that works hard. You know, don't be the guy that sacrifices everything.
The horse pretty much works himself to death, then he gets sent to the knackers.
Right. When he's supposed to get a nice cushy retirement.
Gets turned into dog food or something.
Glue, yeah.
Or glue.
You know, yeah. don't work yourself to death for an ungrateful master. But the other moral of it is that all masters are ungrateful. And I don't think you start out that way. I don't think anyone's born going, I want to be this evil villain or whatever, you know?
When I think of the master of the house, I think of the Bible and God, but...
Well, I'm talking about human masters.
Hmm.
I'm talking about false premises.
Huh?
The human master.
All right. Why is that a false premise?
None of us are superior to anybody else.
Hmm.
We might be in superior situations.
But everybody thinks they're superior, Dave.
Maybe that's something that we need to kind of disavow ourselves of.
I mean, everybody does, man.
I know.
I think just about everybody.
Everybody does. I know everybody here does.
Maybe it's not everybody.
Everybody in this recording, within earshot of this recording equipment does.
That's only two people.
Well, you can expand that out.
Oh, plus our extended crew that are supporting us. I don't see them around, but there's an editor around here somewhere.
Yeah.
It's pretty shit.
Well, you know, maybe you need to, like, feed him more beer or something.
It'd be nice to get some new equipment, though.
It'd be nice if we could think of really cool things to think and talk about.
I think it's pretty tough.
Well, what was it? There was one bunch of people. I never listened to it, but their podcast was just based on Britney Spears.
Wow.
And they were doing Gangbusters.
Really?
And then the one podcast that I heard about a couple of years ago that still boggles my mind is the Insomniacs podcast, which I could be on board with.
The one that puts you to sleep?
I could just sit here and read people the Internal Revenue Code.
Dude, I remember years ago I was working on a shoot. It was a Nickelodeon show with Jamie Lynn Spears. And Britney Spears came. It was in Malibu. And Britney Spears came to see her sister. And I couldn't believe the paparazzi. The way they just were fucking hounding her. There was like six cars. And then there was a guy that like went to a neighboring property and tried to come down the cliff to get some pictures and stuff. And I was just like, good Lord.
Because they're all,
you know,
they're all trying to make a living. I mean, like I said before, we're all essentially leeches.
These guys are leeches for sure.
Well, I hate using that term because of the negative connotation that it has on people. You hear the word leech and you don't hear anything after anything being said. But, you know, I would love it if we could be symbiotic. I mean, that's the goal. But if you can't be symbiotic, being a leech is good enough, right?
I don't like the word leech.
Nobody does.
I mean, you know, you call somebody a leech and you're going to be like, well, it's not actually a negative term.
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can't be calling somebody a leech and expect them not to have a reaction.
Yeah, you're not going to have a good time with that.
Right? I mean, you were talking about somebody I knew and you're like, oh, yeah, he's a leech. And I'm like, he's not a leech.
But we all are.
A leech is a pretty unpleasant creature, though. It feeds off the host.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better if we were like, what is it, the fish that goes around with the...
The cleaner fish?
And the remora eel or whatever, the sucker fish on the sharks and stuff, I mean...
The ones that do the cleaning.
Yeah.
They go into the mouth and...
Yeah. That's what we should... I mean, if you want to, what is it, clownfish and the anemone?
The sea anemone?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we should strive for.
What is the sea anemone in the clown? Oh, the clownfish hides in the sea anemone, right?
Yeah. It's a totally symbiotic relationship. Well, again.
It's like the magpie and the cattle.
I guess we could just keep on going with symbiotic relationships, but there's...
Can you think of another one? That's the only... You named two of the main ones I can think of.
Well, I think that kind of the next step is to have more symbiosis and less parasitism.
Right.
And right now, being a parasite makes you king of the hill.
Yeah. There's a third one. There's a third kind of relationship, which I can't remember, where one benefits and one doesn't get any benefit.
Isn't that the parasite thing?
No, because it's not, like, there's a third kind where it doesn't hurt the host. Whereas, like, parasitism hurts the host.
It can, if there's too many.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, symbiotic would be great.
And I think we're learning that.
You call that symbiosis, but... But is that even possible when everybody's trying to do what they want?
Well, when everyone's just trying to get along, to get...
Get theirs.
Yeah.
get what they want, do what they want.
Get theirs, even at the, get theirs.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go like at the expense of others because.
Get theirs is do what you want, right?
It's always going to be at the expense of others trying to get what you want. Maybe.
So how do you achieve a symbiotic relationship in that context then?
Not want to get everything. The standard pan answers are, you know, religion.
Right.
Or some people think government.
Have you seen how people behave at buffets, though?
Yeah, but have you seen how people behave at buffets when it's a buffet all the time?
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's generally the newcomers to the buffet that sit there and just take everything they can that's there. Because they're like, oh, shit.
Or people that don't have that much, and a buffet is the most cost-effective way to eat out.
Right.
You know, when a fast food meal costs as much as a buffet.
Yeah. But it's funny, though, when you see folks, and it's obvious that they're new to the buffet, and they're just piling up their plate and taking everything that there is of one particular thing, and I'm like, there's more coming. Right? Why are you taking it all?
And then, but if you go to the buffet a lot, your chances are you're just going to get fat.
This is true.
And
that's why you got to go like once or twice a week.
And to wit, we will end with the old grifter quote.
Which is?
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.